Welcome back to the Bitter Jurors podcast. We are a queer Survivor superfan podcast here to talk about the Survivor 45 finale. Gotta say, pretty slay in my opinion, but it's not just my opinion that matters. I'm one of your hosts, Derek Ryan, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Christine Palin and Sam Stanish.
Yeah, it's good that your opinion isn't the only one that matters, because what would you do if I weren't here to say it was slayful?
I would be so lost, a lost little lamb. It's not just us three here. Let's think of this guest as, you know, our own personal Keturah, you know, until Keturah herself comes on and joins us as our true Final Four. It's Brian Scally.
Ooh, hello, hello. I'm very excited to be here. Even more honored to be called your own personal Keturah. What a honor that is.
I know. They're not final.
Brian Scally is what Derek says.
They're not final jurors anymore. They are Keturahs. And I'm okay with that. I know that, speaking of like the language of like losing, when I was making that apparently not accurate zodiac thing for like the runners up, my original like title for the chart was like losing finalists, and I was like, I don't really want to like put loser out there as the language, so I changed it to runners up. You know, I was trying to be kind.
So generous.
the astrology girls were gathering Derek for his
My quick little like 5 minute like jumping around Google and the Survivor Wiki was not up to snuff. I'm sorry.
You were spreading misinformation and they came for you.
I'll do it again.
Was making me laugh so much. She was like, just so you know, this isn't entirely accurate. Like, just it was polite shade, but still shade.
Gagged me, and that's okay.
deserved to be gagged.
Yes, I earned it. Scally, were you gagged by this finale or this season? I feel like I have not been tracking where the Scally meter lands for Survivor 45.
Ooh, I have. And I feel like on a podcast is where you're going to get my honest opinions. Like, Twitter is all memes. So even if I'm posting something, you know, unless it is something of a serious topic, it is generally jokes and exaggerated. So yeah, I really liked this season a lot. I enjoyed, I mean, I was going to say almost every cast member, but I think I can just go ahead and say every cast member on this season. And I think that a little bit of me is like, no, wait, I really like also like 42 and 44 were fun. But so like the easily the best new era season, I'm like, hey, but I have very much enjoyed it. And I'm not mad at anyone who holds that opinion.
Yeah. And speaking of similar topics, Scally, do you think that D is the best new era winner or the best winner?
Ooh,
those
are the only options.
I'm still evaluating. I'm still in the best new era winner moment, but there has been kind of a thing in the new era where I'm like, who is a good player anymore? I'm not really sure, but congratulations on winning, which has been, you know, something that always has been the case on an edited, probably 13-hour view at however much they get to actually play. But walking away from D's win, I very quickly like had her rising the ranks, and I was comparing her. Like, I haven't added all the new era winners, but I have my very subjective winners ranking, and she very quickly can make it very high up there.
Well, you haven't added all the new era winners, but you've decided to add her. So I feel like that speaks to the love, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have like the exact placement, but just in looking at it, I was like, oh no, she's like better than most of these people. Like, very easily.
Instant top half, perhaps higher.
Yeah. No, definitely higher. That's not a question. It was just, you know, the initial reaction. Because I still think that a good three of the other new era winners are also very solid. So it was like, you know, again, just my immediate reaction being like, love D, but a little protective of the others as well. And then I was like, okay, no, like I'm good in like it being a class of her own for D in the new era. And then we can figure out where the others slot in as well.
I think that's more than fair. I think the reactions to D's gameplay has been so strange this whole season. I've seen people straight up saying things like, who, like, all she did was like ride an alliance of four people to all the way to the end. It's like, yeah, that's good gameplay. That's like what Survivor is. Like, did we, it's like, people can have decided to conflate like rooting for an underdog with like actually being an underdog is good gameplay, which is, it's very confusing to me.
Yeah
I agree. And it's, and like literally the, I mean, those people simply aren't watching the show. Like saying that she rode this alliance to the end is like genuinely not what was presented on TV. Like I sometimes I'm here, I see these tweets or like listen to people talk. It's like you are making stuff up. You are watching, you're looking at your phone while watching the show. Like people are like, I don't even know who this person is, not about DL. Like it, just like over time. And it's like Kelly has been on the show. I don't know why you don't know who she is, because she's there all the time. So when she got voted out, people were like, how are people this mad about someone who I don't even know is on the show? It's like, because she is, like, I don't know what to tell you, you're not watching it.
I know. It's like really same with like D's edit. Even I've seen people, I mean, she doesn't have like a great confessional count, but obviously that's not like a one to one. And yeah, it's like there's a lot of factors there. I think, but it's like to anyone saying like, oh, like her edit wasn't there, like comparing her to like Erica's edit, I think is cuckoo. Like, no, like they went out of their way to present D's like dominance in the, like literally every episode, even when she like wasn't in a confessional talking about it. It was like, here's why D is like in control of this vote in some way or another. And it's just like, it's people just. Over, I even feel like people undersell Erica's edit, which is like not a great edit, but I think the way people talk about it, it's like as if she like never spoke once or was like Natalie White levels of quiet. It's like, no, the story was there. Was it told well? No, but it was there. Like, yeah. People just are alarmists.
And I think that I can almost speak to the watching on their phone crowd, because look, I'm memeing a lot. It is three screens in front of me at all times. So it is sometimes difficult to catch up on every single thing. And I think that there's a lot of people who probably came in and like, it's the high confessional count for Austin. It's the like pretty solid edit for Drew as well in her own alliance, I think, and Julie as well. So I think that some people probably did not pick up on all of the nuances of the game, and especially the second person viewpoints that were expressed on the show of D being a threat just like the entire way through. But it should be fairly obvious that D was playing a really strong game the entire time.
Yeah, again, I think someone said it. It's just like people like, you know, like kind of like laser eyes on underdogs and then laser eyes on like the big characters. Like I think D was clearly a big player. I think it's possible that she didn't jump off the screen as a big character to a lot of people because she was not like wacky or like anything like that. She was just, but she was so like classically like strategic player who is dominating and we're constantly checking in with, and like not quite like Kim Spradlin levels of dominance, but in the edit, certainly not. But in that same way where it's like, we've got these characters and then there's D who's running this alliance like the Navy. And it's just, it's not the first time we've seen this. So it's just funny to see people fall over and over again, like Charlie Brown for the Charlie Brown edit. Like there are some people who are like, Jake should have got more votes. It's like, whatever you think about, like, you know, jury votes, we've been getting into this on Twitter. Yeah. But like, it's like, no, like the edit told us time and time again, like he did not do well in this game. I don't think Jake would argue that he shouldn't have gotten more votes.
Yeah, I don't understand the blank deserved more jury votes or like whatever, like conversation. It's like literally meaningless. It, like if he got one more, for, like if he got one of Austin's votes, it's like he still would be third place. And it's like from who? Like I guess Bruce could have like thrown him a vote, but it's like we barely even saw them talk. So it's like there's no... What are we gaining from being like, I wish he deserved a vote. It's like, no, clearly not.
It's like, would you have voted for him out there? I highly doubt that. I don't know. Which is, again, not... I feel bad because I love Jake as like a player, a character, a person. Seems so fun, but I hate that I have to be like, he wasn't good at the game, because I think he knows.
No,
yeah. I hate that I have to be like, he didn't deserve votes, and it's just like, stop making me like come at someone that I genuinely enjoyed on my television because you have like put them on a pedestal. It's so weird.
I think we talked about this like two or three weeks ago. Survivor community is the only time I'm like basically for, okay, no one's forcing me to like enter discourse, but
gun to our head.
Yeah, but like people are just like misrepresenting facts, and I'm forced to be like, this person who I love is actually not good. why is it like this?
It's so confusing to me. It's because people can't separate the like character, loving a character, and like their position in the game. Unlike us,
we said with Caleb. Yeah.
Unlike us, the most objective people to ever watch Survivor.
Exactly.
That's the thing, is for the majority of the population, I hear the word deserve and I almost instantly check out. Cause I'm like, well, no one really like deserves anything. Like, you earn it, you get it, you whatever. Like, if it happens, like, good for you. You earned that person's vote. But when like the people whose opinion I know I can trust say deserve, that's when I start paying attention. So like, yes, I am a hypocrite, but whatever. And so like Jake tried real hard, but unfortunately literally nothing materialized throughout the entire game. And so I'm really happy that he had a great experience, but that does not equal my jury vote at the end.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I also don't, I mean, like, I'm not trying to say like he would never be good at the game of Survivor. I literally just think that everyone on Bello and Lulu were screwed from like the very beginning. Like, they were, all of the chaotic people were thrown there, all the normal people were on Reba, and it's just like, they, it's gonna be very difficult to have like a good foundation laid, and they just got steamrolled because the early game they didn't learn how to all work together.
Yeah, it's like, it's like Jake like made the right call in like targeting D at Final Five. I think that's like very clear. He has like a mind for strategy. It's just like he doesn't have, or at least he did not in this game, have the social cash to pull off those moves, which is what Survivor is. Like, you have to be able to convince people to do things. You aren't just out there used treating people like stocks, to quote a certain queen.
I'm actually gonna push back on that. And you know, what a beautiful finale for Emily. I'm in love again. It feels like day one all over again. I you know, she slayed me, and I'm a big fan again.
She's just like so fun, and her, I've seen, like, angry at her voting confessional for D, which is like, do you hate good fun things? Like, what is wrong with you? It's like,
I believe that's been deleted.
It's just like, what the hell? Like, you don't want to see, like, I just don't get it. What do people want? I don't understand what people want out of this show. It's confusing to me.
Yeah,
agreed.
I don't know. I mean, look, I heard that voting confessional and I was like, if there's a story, I want to know it. But if there's not, like, I still support the idea of not spending your money on someone that you met like just recently.
Yeah, I think she was just being shady and fun, and it was slay. Like, there was nothing more to it. She just like, this is yours. Like, you didn't win this together. Like, you, this is your $1 million.
Yeah. That's how I interpreted it, and it's like, you people weren't out there, like, you don't know what their relationship was like, you don't know what all they talked about at Final Tribal. It's like, it doesn't make her some evil demon who hates men, and if she was, we would love her even more.
Slay.
Yes, exactly. We love that. I love evil demons who hate men, like, but she's not that.
No, I mean, she might even get married after this.
Who knows? But yeah, I guess speaking of jury votes, in the moment I was a little upset that D did not sweep as I was hoping she would, but again, it's like nonsense. I just want to put this out there,
Drew would literally never, like, I don't know.
It's like I had this fantasy in my head of like, finally we're getting the unanimous US winner, but like, I know Australia, they had a unanimous woman winner, which is amazing, but I think it's just like, to me, oh damn, I need to force myself to watch all 900 episodes of the seasons I have not caught up on. But it's
at least the good ones.
Yes, I let's see. I watched Haley versus the creep. I've seen that one.
I know it well.
But after that, nothing. But yeah, I was just upset. I don't know. My thought is like, when is it going to happen, guys? Like, if this wasn't the unanimous woman winner, like, game, like, what does it look like? I would love to know.
Well, she couldn't. I mean, she couldn't have taken Austin. Like, well, the issue is really fire making. It could have perhaps happened if, you know, she won immunity, the two Bellows finally got together, and she had to make the decision between flipping on her showmance or going to fire, and maybe her, maybe he and Katara would, whatever. But like, he couldn't have been there. And really, I'm just taking it all back to fire making. It's their fault. We don't have a unanimous female winner.
Agreed. Yeah, no, like, agreed. No, because like with the whole fire making thing, it's now, ever since that man, everyone, I mean, before that, it was
there could be so many men. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I mean, I'm saying specifically Gabler winning has like, now is like the fire making meta has gotten like even worse with like, okay, well, it's better to make fire because then it's a move like that. I mean, obviously started with Chris Underwood, and it got worse with Gabler, and that's like D like couldn't even put Austin in fire making here because if he won, then that's a move on his resume. Like, it's so stupid. But if it was a vote, even if it still wasn't D's choice for him to like be in that situation, she's not hurt by it. It's like, it's when it becomes like a choice you make to be thrown into fire. It's so stupid. Like, who cares?
It's putrid.
The thing is, I care a lot, and I care from the perspective of I am so annoyed that people have to beg for the chance to put their game on a 50-50 line. Like, that is the most aggravating thing in the world to me, that what is inherently a bad move is something that has become maybe sometimes a move that some players have to do because people are dumb, essentially.
Well, I'm thrilled it didn't help Heidi, and I'm thrilled that Jake got no votes because he won fire. And if I was playing Survivor and someone begged to be put into fire, I would never vote for them.
It's just like, and I don't know. I don't want to make Jake feel bad for doing that, but it is like, if that's your move, it's like your move was essentially being told, I don't want you at the end of the game, and like in other circumstances that you would be voted out at this point in the game. Like, is that a move? I don't know. I don't really get it. But that's not really on the players. That's on the format, honestly.
Jake's the first person I kind of get it. Like, he had absolutely nothing going.
It's like, I got to talk about something at the end. It's like, might as well be fire.
Yeah, like, this is the first time I was kind of like, I hate it, but like, you know what? Sure. Like, yeah, like, let's give it to him. It would have been really funny if he lost. It would have been really sad for him if he lost. It would have been really funny if that was like another Charlie Brown thing that happened to him.
We're all waiting for somebody to give up immunity to go into fire and then lose. That'll be fun. I won't deny.
I watched with a group of people who like none of them really had like watched Survivor before, and unfortunately they were the most intently watching during the fire making. It kind of was like annoying me.
Dangling keys friends, in front of a baby.
But I was like, it was fully turning into like gross Reddit incel, like, you guys don't really understand what Survivor is about if you like this. But it was like, damn it. So Jeff kind of knows what he's talking about. The casuals do care about this.
But only for people who've never seen the show before. Like, I distinctly remember watching the Kagayan finale, which was my re-entry into the show. We got to the final tribal council, and I literally asked, like, oh, why isn't it a challenge to decide who wins? And Lita was like, it's a social game. And I was like, oh, and like, I totally got it. Like, once it was explained to me, and then obviously the Kagayan final tribal council happened, and Trish got up there, and I was of course sold. But you know, you do enter the show, you've seen so many challenges going on. You're kind of like, oh, this is another challenge. Like, this is like the big thing. You're not sure. You're not aware of what's really in the underworkings.
Right. You haven't been Survivor pilled yet. And that comes.
Yes.
Speaking of fire making, I don't want to say loser. Fire making, not maker.
Second place fire maker.
Yes. first alternate to fire making winner. Our girl Katara tops. Rest in peace, queen.
She had an episode.
I support her. I'm so mad that after the fire making happened, we go to Jake's reaction to it, but for Keturah, like, we okay, and then Keturah didn't even get her final words in the episode, which I was very mad about.
What?
I didn't. Ooh. Yeah. Like, she just walked out and we cut it the next day. I literally said out loud, where are her final words? Didn't happen. And like, Jake's like, I'm so excited. It's like, if we go to Keturah first and we like send her away, like, at least make her not have to be there while Jake is like, yeah.
I agree. The it's like, we've been doing this for over 10 seasons now. Surely we would have the kinks figured out at this point.
Oh my God.
I know.
That was a sad fact.
I've been 10 years since, I mean, wow, what a, the 35 to 45 connection there. First time fire making, most recent fire making, Chrissy thinks Jake is hot. Like, the hot equals fire. She knew something. She knew something. we've discussed, this will be for patrons, but when we do our Survivor social media awards, Chrissy's Jake is fucking hot as shit. He is gonna be up there.
It will be. It's nominated for something. We haven't determined the categories yet, but a category will be made for that.
I mean,
sorry, Doug, you saying it's been 10 years?
No, 10 seasons.
Oh, okay. I was like, doing the math in my head. I was like, that is not right.
Blood versus Water ended in a fire making challenge, and Tina won the season.
Yeah. Sorry, it's been Tom Westman number of seasons since then.
Okay.
Oh my God.
What was with the theme this season? Like, every other episode, I'll say, had a reference to like a past winner. I guess it was maybe just some sort of like 45th season celebration thing, but like, it never came together into anything other than Jake doing it again. Which I love the self-referential thing. Like, Survivor almost never goes that way. Like, you know, between Survivor and RuPaul's Drag Race, like, Drag Race, every line is a reference to something that someone else has said iconically in the past, including like Housewives stuff, whatever. But like, it now, Survivor almost never goes that well. And so to have it happen all the time on the season, for seemingly no reason, was interesting to me.
Yeah, the only one that made sense, obviously, was Romber. Like, that one makes sense. Like, there's a clear parallel there. But yeah, why do we have to keep bringing up like Coach and, I mean, I love bringing up Sophie, but like, why is Sophie and Coach? Yeah, it's a, I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, it's cool. I mean, but I mean, I'm someone who's like seen all those seasons, but I guess if you're like a newbie, that probably sucks, right?
Yeah.
What I was thinking.
I did actually just get two of my friends into Survivor and they're binging earlier seasons, but one of them, unbeknownst to me, had started this season. And then I was like, wait, there's a spoiler like in this episode, like, et cetera. He's like, didn't even notice it. Like, okay, don't worry about it then.
That's so good.
Yeah, even in the finale, I was like, they referenced like multiple winners. He was like, didn't catch it. Like, okay, sounds great. A little worried how you're watching this, but sure.
I think it can help like fascinate the mind of a new watcher to like be reminded that there is a history to the show. I watched Philippines very early in my viewing, and like the people who are brought back onto that show, they play the clips of the other seasons. I'm like, oh, that like looks cool or whatever. Just reminding you that like other seasons have happened and they were good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I, on the one hand, I was like, yeah, it's kind of like spoiling people before I've been getting into it. But on the other hand, like, I wonder, like, my conspiracy theory, like, the strike had started. They're like, we gotta get these Paramount Plus subscriptions up, like, get the girls wondering about, like, who's this Robin Amber? I've been sleeping under a rock for however many years. I've never heard of these two. So, like, it's like, Survivor's gotten increasingly self-referential, for sure, like, ever since Winners at War. But it was pretty funny, but I have to imagine there's something in there with the Paramount Plus subscriptions.
Not just sleeping under a rock, but like there's some 15-year-old watching who, you know, was not alive when other things happened on the show. But we were talking about Keturah, of course.
Of course. I know I've been seeing a lot of shock, surprise, surprise, people are mad at a woman for a man being bad at the game. It's like, it's like, did she make the right move? Obviously not. She recognized that in the moment, but it's like, she said, it's like, you don't really know where these people are voting. Jake has been really unreliable the entire game. It's like, she at least was like, I think it's very smart of her to just like take a guaranteed, I'm not going home tonight. It's like, is that good? Is that great gameplay? Not really. It's like, you're not really looking to earn jury votes by doing that, but you are surviving a tribal council, which I think was kind of her mode of operation. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Clearly, the people in the game saw her as threatening, so it's not like she was playing terribly. Like, they wanted her out of the game. It's just, she doesn't deserve the hate that she's getting. It's really bizarre.
I completely agree that she doesn't deserve the hate at all. But what did everyone think? I'm sure someone can, there's another, you know, someone else will go through all the strategy behind it. But I'm just like, she and Jake were going to vote D, but she voted Julie to prevent herself from going home. But I don't know why, I guess.
All I can assume is that we were not shown a conversation where Austin mentioned this plan to her. Because Austin was the one wanting Julie, who also voted Julie. That's the only thing that makes sense to me, is that like she knew Austin for sure. Austin was voting Julie,
and then he was
like, "I don't."
And then she was like, "I guess she was worried that Jake and Julie and Dee might vote for her."
Yeah, so I think she thought like she couldn't, if she can't trust, if she's decided I can't trust Jake, that means there's a majority of votes against me. Like, I think she just, like Cher Kirkgott said, I can't trust Jake. That's very likely that means I'm going here and I'm being snowed. And that she knew for sure Austin was voting Julie, or had a very good hunch. That's all I can think of. I haven't listened to any of her exit press, or I don't know if you talked about exit press. I did see the clip she posted on Instagram story of her on Rob Has a Podcast recounting them looking into Jake's eyes. And she said, that's the longest I've ever looked in a white man's eyes. And that's all I need to hear from her exit press. That's perfect. That's all
I
need to
know. I know. Yeah, it's just like, I don't blame Keturah for playing scared, I guess. And also, like, Jake should have just given the idol to her. It's like, I understand he wanted to, like, make it clear, like, I'm making this move for Keturah, but you didn't tell her it was happening. And, like, it's just like, if you genuinely, like, were like, no, this is, like, it's us two, we have to work together, give her the idol. And then at Tribal Council, be like, final tribal, I gave her that idol. I'm the reason she's here. Like, it's as easy as that. It's...
Yeah, I mean, obviously he misplayed the situation. Yes. And
season 45, obviously Jake misplayed the situation.
And that's the thing. I mean, I agree. I think that also likely there's a conversation between Austin and Keturah that we're missing, because I don't really think it makes a lot of sense why that seems like the safer move in the abstract. But I just also think that, like, regardless, even if you were just, like, frustrated, you're like, oh, I really like Jake and Keturah made a bad move, like, okay, you can think that silently. Like, or tweet it and don't tag her. Like, I don't care.
Tagging contestants in general, even for positive stuff, makes me cringe. Like, I can't explain it, but there has to be very specific scenarios where people are tagged, and, like, even if I tweet something about a contestant and then they get tagged under it, I'm like, no, why bring them into it? It's not for them. I'm like, this is personal.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do that next.
I was saying, like, I'll never tag them, but then if they reply, that's when I'm like, yes, queen, I love you.
I was gonna say, we need to just, like, skip to that part, and next season for 46 we're gonna be, like, adding contestants like mother, just like during the episode. That's what we're gonna do.
Dot at Keturah Tops, he'd be an iconic guest.
Yeah, I mean, and the other person getting a lot of hate who I've seen responding to it has been Kendra, because people are very upset that she, as a woman, would dare vote for a man she liked and respected the game of.
It's like clearly she was in the, like, jury speak section talking about how much she loves Austin. It's like, where did you think her vote was going?
People who are mad at this kind of thing, like, want the show to be way worse than it is. It's fun because we don't, it's because it's all based on their personal interactions, and every single person is a highly biased person with a very different set of categories they're looking for to vote for a winner. That is the game of Survivor. And Kendra liked Austin more. They spent more time together. They were on the Swap Tribe together. Like, I don't
literally
understand.
Yeah.
And you go, Brian.
No, proceed.
No, but like, and like, this is the other thing we've talked about, like, on Twitter. I know I woke up at 7 a.m. the day after the finale and tweeted about this.
Like Julie rising up.
I literally, I was actually up at like 5:30 and I was like, I'll wait. But people, like, again, we would have loved and been excited to see D win unanimously. Like you said, Sam, it was never going to happen given the makeup of this jury. It would have been Slay, because unanimous jury victories are difficult to achieve because the jurors are people with complex relationships, and it's very hard to sway every single jury your way. You know, either you're the people sitting next to you have to have really made some mistakes, or you've just really, really played a great game or sold yourself in a way where they all vote for you. We would have been excited if D had won unanimously, but it does not make a difference. She won. All that matters is you get the majority of the votes. Kendra didn't take anything away from D by voting for Austin. He still got second place. D still won. And I pointed out on Twitter, D has the same amount of jury votes as like Natalie Anderson, as Parvati, like it as Todd won with fewer jury votes. Like, we can all agree those are great winners. And someone who won 7-1 1 year ago, I think most people would agree, did not play a dominant game strategically. That dominant game strategically does not translate to most jury votes. In fact, it usually doesn't, because you usually have to piss some people off to play a very truly dominant strategic game. But the point of the game is you just have to get those jury votes, and that's all that matters. And so it's very, very silly that people are acting like Kendra committed some capital offense by not letting you win with the bigger majority.
Yeah,
and that's you go.
No, okay. I'll take this one. That is the thing. It's like, obviously, yes, I want the unanimous female winner, hopefully someone that I like. I want all of that. But in the like abstract, I want people to actually be voting for who they want to vote for. And I want, like, you know, I don't want someone to go along with the popular decision because they know that person is going to win. And that's how we get all these 7-1 votes constantly. So, you know, for all of the people who are constantly saying, like, why do we need a final three? Because there's always going to be a zero vote finalist, or it's always like, you know, a huge pile on the number one person. It's like, well, then don't attack people for not going along and just voting for the de facto winner here.
And even if Kendra voting for Austin did cause Austin to win the game, it's kind of like, so, like,
then Austin won because he had
more jury votes. Like, that's the game of the show that we're all watching. That's like why we're here. So,
and we still think that D played the most dominant strategic game up until that point. If it didn't go into a win, it's not a winning game, but you could still be like, yeah, she had the most of like strategic control over the game, but Austin would still be the winner. Both of those things could be true.
Right.
Yeah.
Troyzen was pissed as fuck at Kim Spradlin, and she is obviously God on earth playing the game of Survivor. So like it doesn't correlate like at all.
Yeah. It's a silly thing to get that worked up about. I just feel like people are still I'm still haunted by 43. I think that is honestly has done the most psychological damage to everyone who's watched Survivor then in ways I don't think people even realize yet. It's
we should be studied.
I hope someone is studying all of us right now.
But, and you know, perhaps this is controversial, but it's like Gabler won 43. It's like,
no, that he didn't.
But it's like, he did. That's the game also. Like, people liked him more. The jurors wanted to vote for him. It's like, I guess I don't have a point to make there, but it's like people keep being like, he didn't deserve it or whatever. And it's like, but clearly they liked him and he got to the end. So that's, I guess I'm just going to say it again. That's Survivor at the end of the day.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. And we don't have to pretend that Gabriel played a dominant strategic game. We don't have to pretend he had an all-timer final tribal council. Like, he just won. Like, that's fine. We can rank him very low, like, in your personal rankings. We certainly weren't happy with it. I don't want to speak for everyone, but I certainly wasn't happy with the way certain jurors approached that discussion. But he still won. Like, those things can be true. And, like, we can have dominant game, winning game. They don't have to be the same thing, but a winning game is a winning game. And that's what matters at the end of the day.
And like our favorites won't win, our favorites will win, and we'll have different rankings of winners. Keep your eyes on the Bitters Pod Patreon, where we will be ranking all the members of the new era, not just winners, ooh, the Aubrey cast. But like, it's all subjective. That's once again, that's what makes it very interesting. We're all different people with different opinions on things, and so yelling at Keturah for flipping her vote and like ruining Jake's plan is like, that was her, that's how she was feeling at the time, to quote a now canceled winner. But like, it's all gonna be okay, people. Yeah. And even we our podcast with Gabby Pascuzzi, like the day after my gamer won, it was like us, we were so in our feelings about it and like so upset and emotional, and we all needed each other in that moment. But I'm not out here tagging Mike Gabler, fuck you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because then he would unfollow us, and he does follow us.
Or at least Joanna Gabler does. Joanna Gabler is like our number one fan. She likes all of our tweets.
So weird. But I agree 100%. It's something about Survivor just gets people riled up. Why can't we all just be happy that D is such a fun ass like character? And that's another thing I'm so confused with, people saying she was boring. Like 5 weeks ago, people were like calling her like Queen of Big Toes, and suddenly you like don't know who she is. It's like, I don't get it. She's an amazing winner, amazing character. I'm so happy she won. Like, amazing.
I legitimately think some people watch the show by looking at the voting chart on Wikipedia. They're like, this is boring because the Reba 4 are working together. Again, not watching the show. Like, you're literally only watching Jeff read the votes, or like who's voting with who. Because all four members of the Reba 4 were fun. And so like, just because they slayed the game and were like dominant the entire time doesn't make anyone boring. Like, Dee is so fun and funny, just like effortlessly. Clearly the jurors loved her. They were cracking up every time she said anything. So it's like, she slayed. Come on, give her all the awards.
Literally. Mother.
Can you say mother?
Just especially like with the 90-minute episodes, and like I wonder what D's edit looks like, and what you know the other people on this season's edit look like. If it had been a 60-minute episode season, I think that probably some people who
Bye, Julie.
Were, yeah, exactly. Julie, I think Julie's gone. I think some people who were built up even more, like probably their edits get scaled down a little bit. So it's interesting to think about what D's win looks like there, and does she retain like a similar amount of confessionals and it's mostly other people's that are going, so she is like more celebrated because she like percentage wise has a higher like visibility on the season, or does she become one of the people who becomes even less visible and then people are even more confused?
I know. It's like, I think I feel like the editors were probably very excited that they like didn't have to make that decision, but it's like they shouldn't have, like,
yeah.
I hope that they genuinely did take a lesson away from Erica. I really hope that, but I don't know that they did. Like, I can't guarantee that they did actually like listen to people or care. Hold on just a second. My cat is trying to spill a large glass of water. I'm watching her
spill.
Walk away. Okay, she's not going to spill the water anymore. Nope, she's turning around. Spill. Okay.
I feel that D's edit would probably become greater in a shorter runtime season. Not to be rude to any of the dolls on season 45, but it's not like it's not like she's surrounded by once in a lifetime characters. no one's like Carolyn, you know. It's nobody's like going to be there to like absorb all the screen time. So I think that we would just like hear, or maybe we'd hear the same amount from her, but everybody else would be lessened.
Yeah,
I think so too. And I do agree with someone made the comparison of like, I think they definitely learned from Xander. Like, I think there's a world where Austin's edit is like way more glowing and intense. And honestly, I feel like he kind of was done a little dirty in the edit, because it's like, he got 3 votes, like not an insignificant amount of jury votes. And I feel like everyone in the weeks, plural weeks leading up to the finale, were like, Austin is a goat. He is not winning at all. He's made so many mistakes. And it's just like, The fact that they learned from Xander, I hope, means that they also learned from Erica, and Dee would have more of a same presence. I really hope that we still have the toe, because that that ended up being important, and
it led to line.
Like, it was a thing. Like, I would hope, but I'm glad we don't even have to even think about it, because 90 minutes is what made this the best season of the new era period. Like, it just is better because of that.
Weirdly, Austin ended up with more, like, 8 more confessionals than Dee, and even, like, going into the finale, it was pretty even. I feel like it's just, like, what they gave him. It was, like, or what they included from him was just so, like, generic.
He was very idol-focused for, like, the first half of the game, and then it became, like, about his relationship with Dee. What did you say, like, sandwiches?
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's hard to feel bad for someone who, I don't know if it was like the most, the second most, or whatever, confessionals of the season. Like, it's hard to feel bad for that person, but I still feel like his edit was kind of dry. He seems perfectly likable, very personable, and like a nice guy. And I feel like it sucks that his story, like his game and also his personality, were not shown to what they probably were on the island.
Yeah.
They gave it worse to Amber, so, sometimes edits get absorbed by being in a relationship, and this time it happened to a man.
There you go.
That's why it was so good.
Austin ended up being number one for confessionals.
Yeah.
That's bizarre, honestly.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like it, which I think is great. I feel like that speaks to how evenly edited this season was overall, and... I think a version of this season where Austin's edit is overbearing and feels like undercutting Dee's, but it's like Dee's undercut Austin's at every turn, and that's all we can ask as viewers. I'm just so excited that it seems like 90 minute episodes are here to stay, at least for a while.
I would love to hear what they're going to do for 47. Like, this is all strike related still, I'm sure. So we'll see.
They had already been planning on it, yeah,
right.
For 46.
I would love it. I think they clearly know what to do with the time. I know that this season was, like, really highly viewed compared to other recent seasons. So I'm down.
Yeah, I think that's why online discourse has been so awful. It's because people who weren't watching before are watching it now and are talking about it, and it's we got to do a better job of gatekeeping, literally.
Open that's up the problem.
take it off Netflix.
something has to be done. That's exciting for the show. I feel good about where the show is at right now. Obviously, we have our tweaks, we have our things that we wish would go away forever, but I don't think they are anytime soon. But for what we have, this has been such a fun, amazing, great season, and I really hope that they keep the momentum going.
Agreed. I'm studying this confessional count now, and the last time...
You're just looking at it. You're not studying it.
I studied this game before coming out here, Derek, I'm going in, but, like, episode 4 is the last time anyone had 0 confessionals.
Ooh. Damn. It's like, that's how Survivor should be. I'm glad that they realized that too. It's like, again, they very easily could have not done. It's like they could have used the 90 minutes in a really awful way and, like, just use it to give, like, even more confessionals to the people who already were high confessional havers. It's like, that's why I'm like, when people are like, oh, what would the other new era seasons look like? What would 44 have looked like? I feel like it just would have been even more lopsided, honestly.
Yep. Yep.
Which makes me sad for our Worm Queen.
She has been dethroned. Well, I mean, Kendra couldn't eat the worm, but...
Ooh. So, it sounds like she has been. Sorry. And Jamie went further in the game than her.
But will Jamie read your birth chart for you on Cameo? I don't think so.
I'm sure she'd do a great job. She's a
yoga
instructor.
I would love to see that, actually.
She's a yoga doer. She does yoga.
Astrology. She might know what a birth chart is.
Jeff asked... Jeff, I watched the confessional earlier today, and Jeff's opening for, like, to start talking about Kendra is like, you're the astrological energy woman.
It's true. Yeah, what did we thoughts on the post show?
Did not watch.
I had it running while I played cards with friends, like after, and it just was nothing. Please, Jeff, I know you're obsessed with it for some reason, but it's not working. Give them at least a day, like something.
It is kind of just boring because it's not fun. They're just continuing to say the same stuff that they have no new perspective on the game. Mm-hmm. They haven't. It's because they haven't watched it. Obviously, they just are still there. They just did Final Tribal. Like, what else are they going to say? They just talked about all of the game. They're saying the same thing again. But now they're having to contend with themselves also being hungry. Like, for like a really long part of Dee speaking, she had like some kind of oil or sauce or like liquid of some kind on her face, and it's just so rude. Like, it's awful. It's why would we do this to her? She just won $1 million. Now we're giving her this shitty looking pizza, and she's like trying to talk and eat and drink champagne at the same time. What are we doing?
Yeah,
Jeff is a freak. That's why we're doing it. He gets off on seeing people eat in front of him. Like, this is the only explanation why the auction is back, why this is keeps happening. It's because he gets off on people being like emotionally destroyed and eating in front of them.
I would genuinely rather have no reunion than that this happens.
Yeah, agreed. Mm-hmm. I have to imagine that they were pissed. Not pissed might be a strong word, but just like frustrated when Julie and Katura revealed that they're lawyers outside of the after show. That's like the only interesting possible thing that could have happened in the after show. And it's just like, oh no, actually that's also in the main part of the episode.
I know. It's like we can't even like a huge part of most of the show was Katura talking shit about Bruce in confessionals, and like we just don't get to hear about that. Like, that would be something that would come up at a live reunion. Like, it's like, we just can't even talk about it. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, maybe it's like, if Jeff wants to live out his weird gainer, what's is it a feeder when you're like into making people eat food?
Inflation.
Say the Jeff Probst inflation alt is out there on Twitter. We need to find it. But it's like, if he wants to do that, it's like fine. But then we also need like, so it's like, if we're gonna fly him out to LA, let's like talk to them for a little bit and hear what they think about the show itself.
Like the Kendra Bruce thing Katura Bruce thing specifically. It's like they didn't even know they had beef. Like Katura had a whole experience of life that included being not loving of Bruce, but like played a whole game plus that. And so she didn't know that her character was going to be 100% that. So they can't even ask about that because Jeff also doesn't know.
Yeah. It's confusing.
Jeff is also just the worst interviewer. I'm sorry, but like there's a point like really early on in the reunion where they're talking about how close the votes were. And Jake literally says, oh my God, I know. I was thinking like, I'm going to have to vote if it's a tie. Like, who am I going to vote for? Jeff doesn't follow up. Like, he just fully moves on. Doesn't ask. Like, we got no questioning of, and if Katura had been at the end, like if Katura had beat Jake, like which jurors, nothing, which is like, that's literally the only interesting thing that could come from doing these reunions before the show airs.
Mm.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. It's like if there's not a child at the reunion for him to ask questions to, he like doesn't know like how to host these things. He barely knew how to do it when it was live, but that's such a good point, Sam. Like it's like that's the one benefit of doing this is that you could get unfiltered responses outside of the edit.
Yeah.
And obviously it wouldn't all be totally mm-hmm. like 100% because obviously they already know D1, so maybe Jake would be like, well, obviously I would have voted for her. So like it's still not real, but it's like these are the questions that viewers care about. I not just like a recap of what we watched.
Yes. I was living in my delusional fantasy when we started the episode with Jeff like talking to the camera, and I was like, are we on a live set? Is that why everyone was being flown out? And this is like a surprise live reunion. It's like, nope, it's actually not. And prepare to be disappointed by Jeff's lack of interviewing skills. And yeah, like you said, it's like we could like put to rest all these like online debates about like, well, if this person had been there, if this had happened, like we would get to know that in the moment on like without any bias from watching an edited version of the events of the game. But like you said, Sam, Jeff just like isn't interested in that. He's interested in talking about I don't even know what the fuck he wants to talk about.
I liked seeing the clip of Austin finding out who was playing. That was fun.
That was cute, for sure.
And I liked seeing the trailer for 46.
Yeah, do we want to talk about 46? The preview?
Ooh.
Enough with the casting videos. Enough.
We are not Big Brother.
It was too much.
What do you mean?
it's just not like I want to see them like on
in the game.
I don't know. It was cute at first, and but it just was like, I was like, oh, we're gonna show like some short clips, some cool, but it was like it went on for too long for me. The trailer was like casting. And like it, like I like appreciate like the idea. It was just not. It was a flawed execution, I have to say.
I'm sure it'll be good, but 46 does seem very generic just from the trailer. I don't really have a thing to hang my hat on, I guess, from the like 2 minutes we've seen of it. But I'm sure it'll be fun.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I feel like they are very excited. I mean, is his name Tevin, the guy who was like getting about? He seems so fun, mm-hmm. like very excited. Other than Tevin, I'm like, I don't really know who else is on. But I feel like that's always the problem, though. Sam, you're always the one who says like these people don't look like Survivor players to me, but they will. And right. I feel like unfortunately they leaned into the like pre-Survivor imagery of them. Which I think, like you said, Christine, good, like interesting idea, but I don't like it. And like, we don't need to try this again. Like, let's see them doing stuff on the island. Like, that's why we're watching the show.
I liked the person who had Sailor Moon hair.
Yes. Whoever that was, we love you. We're already standing. The three tribes again, I think, right?
Well, there's no other way.
Of course, yeah.
I know.
Same colors as 44 as well.
I know. Another green buff for me to buy. This green looks very vibrant, I will say.
Ooh.
I'm very excited. I hope that this is... please, two tribes, please. That's like, if we only get to change one thing... Please, for 47, two tribes. That's all I'm
asking. When they do 20 for All-Stars for season 48, it'll be two tribes.
Or three tribes of like nine or something. I don't like they're not.
That'd be wild.
I don't know. I'm very curious if they do All-Stars for 48. I feel like they're so close to 50.
True. That's what... But they did Cambodia 31, Game Changers 34, so like they can be two in a row.
I'm curious, when do we think the earliest they will do All-Stars is?
They need to do Second Chance too. Like it, like 37 and 47 would be fine. Like just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not happening next cycle.
I don't think it is either.
Yeah, I could see them.
Why do you guys think not? Because of 50?
Yeah, partially.
I think, to me, I would love 49 and 50 to be both returning. I think 49 should be Second Chance, and 50 should be a true All-Stars projection picks. Like, a mix of winners, people. Like, I feel like 49 would be a great, like, new era Second Chance, just new era, and then 50 can be... We have the whole catalog to work with and production picks like legends. Like I would love that. I don't know if they would do that, but I feel like that would be the best way to get the best of both versions of what an All-Star season can be.
Oh my God, Carolyn on back-to-back seasons is going to be really
We deserve it.
I also think they're just going to wait to do something big for 50. And also by now, like at this point in the casting cycle, like Redmond would usually have like an inkling of whether or not they've contacted returnees and that hasn't happened. That's the biggest thing. Like usually by this point, like, If they haven't contacted them now, it's not happening because they're pretty far along in casting.
Well, that's too bad. Yeah. I do feel like some of the stars of 45 will fall to the wayside and not really return then. Because, like, I mean, they're already fighting for so many people. Recency bias is kind of one of the only things they had, I feel like. And so now it's kind of like, who will return? Emily says no.
Yeah.
I feel like Caleb is the only one who's really, like, or at least the highest, but then it's like, who knows who else will be here?
The casting pool is too big, like, already. Like, I'm so nervous about who's going to get forgotten. I mean, there was, I forget who tweeted, that, like, the only people who have come back after season 34 have been, like, Ben, Wendell, Nick, and Bruce. Like, that's the only people who have debuted after season 34 and have returned to Survivor. So there is such an entirely untapped market in, like, truly 12 seasons, at least. So
yeah,
it's rough.
It is. It's rough.
Unnamed season 47 male and unnamed season 48 female.
My favorites. I always kind of love the, like, pre knowing for sure there's going to be an All-Stars. Like, when I feel like there was a moment in time where we all knew All Winners was happening, but it wasn't like we didn't know it was happening. But that's always my favorite, when suddenly you see people on Twitter more, you see them tweeting things about the show more when maybe they weren't doing that recently.
Was the best, like, part of All Winners.
It was
literally the promise of All Winners
and Cambodia. I was gonna say All Winners also because we all knew it was All Winners, and the only shock when we, like, pulled up the final cast list was that Amber was on. Like, that was, like, that was, I think, Scally, I think we were together when the list came out. Yep.
Where and, were, like, you?
I think we were at a Drag Race viewing party in an apartment. And I just, like, that was powerful. That's so fun. But now I don't remember when. It's so funny because when All Stars isn't on, it's very Abby Maria. When All Stars isn't on, I'm like, damn, I really, really want another All Stars season. But then I tend to hate most All Stars seasons. So it's kind of like,
it's like the idea of it is exciting, and there's always the chance that it could be good.
Yeah.
My general, like, if it was having to have All-Stars as frequently as we used to have, or never having an All-Stars again, like, I would low-key pick never having an All-Stars again.
Same here.
Yeah. Like, I really enjoy getting to know the new people, and so as much as there are some people that I would like to see on a return, either they're going to be such big targets that they'll be going out immediately, or they'll disappoint me, so whatever the case may be.
But they have such a wide pool of gigantic targets now that, like, there is a chance that a cast coming back would be, like, all gigantic threats, or, like, huge characters, like, iconic members of the Survivor community.
Yeah, like, if they wait till season 50, like, that could, like, be a very, very stacked cast.
But the issue with it being 50 is then, like, they're gonna bring back Ross and Rob, Colby will be there, and it's like, okay.
They apparently have, like, it seems like the word is that they're very Jeff is very uninterested in bringing back people from pre-New Era right now. Other people at CBS might have different opinions, but it is interesting that seems to be on the back burner.
I read a conspiracy theory that they're against bringing back people from the old era because they don't want someone to be like, it's way easier on 26 Days.
totally, exactly.
Honestly,
like, if they've done this huge rebrand about what Survivor is, like, how long it is, like, all these things, like, they kind of, like, it's fun. It's like, I think I've brought this up before. It's, like, very funny that they're so obsessed with, like, reinventing the show and, like, being different, and then, like, all these, like, callbacks to previous seasons of, like, how the show used to be. Well, it's like, what would happen if you brought those people on? It would be an unrecognizable show to them. So I totally agree that that's probably part of the calculus.
It already kind of happened with, like, Ethan was, I think, even on Winners at War, was like, this was not as hard as Africa. Like,
So there's nothing Survivor social media loves more than to post a clip from Micronesia or Borneo, and then Survivor production will do nothing to create those events ever again.
I know.
Yeah,
that's what the traitors is.
Oh, please. I'm very curious to see if we do go back into the old school players. At the, like, CBS viewing party that Jeff showed up at, he did, like, unprompted kind of mention, like, and sometimes you say stuff in interviews like, we'll never bring back old contestants, and then, like, change your mind. So, like, it seems like maybe
it's
a back and forth. Who knows what is actually accurate with Jeff. I really think that his mind can really change on a whim. So you never know.
If Christian and Angelina are, like, hey, we're on the next returnee season. Jeff will say yes. Like, I,
yeah.
On. Yeah.
100%. It's so I don't know. This season just made me love Survivor again. So good. I was getting emotional during the 46 thing because I was like, this is what the show is. It's like just watching these random ass people like out here and they like form their own little like world together. And like some of them become like legends in this like pantheon of just, but it's just like they're out on an island for like a month. Like, and they like write each other's names down on paper. But it's like, just, I just love the show so much. And 45 was a big reason of why I just had a moment.
I completely know what you're talking about. Because even mid 45, and I will never ever say mid in the same conversation as 45 ever again. But during season 45, like especially after the final 9 episode, like I was really weighed down. I was like, oh my God, it's like still ongoing. There's like 3-4 more episodes left. Like, I don't want to do this. But then it like totally came back. Like back to back, they gave us 2 of the greatest episodes Survivor's ever aired, and then they had one of the best winners ever. And so like there is a low point in this season where there is a bad episode. Like, if I completely agree, Derek, like totally invigorated by Survivor, my love of it right now. Like, I came into the show and like after every season, I'd be pissed and I would be so mad and so thrilled that it's off for a couple weeks to several months. And now it's like, I'm excited that I'll have like, I just know by the end of 2.5 months, I won't be filled with dread that Survivor's coming back. I will be very excited for another season of my favorite show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And look, I complain a lot about the production decisions that Survivor has made. I will give them like a half props on, I feel like the jury questioning this season did slowly seem to start to be its return to form, where people were getting like prompted to speak individually and actually getting their time to talk. It was not, you know, stand up and stand in front of the fire and ask your question to each individual juror. I don't think Bruce, like whatever he had said, aired, but at least it was
he ended him.
It was not arbitrarily split up into like these random categories that are overlapping and not equally weighted in the game. So it was a step in the right direction for me, at least.
I think Gabby tweeted about the Outlast Outplay. I was like, God, I forgot that they did that. Like, oh, horrible.
Yeah.
I say this about many production issues, but if the cast just unionized and decided we're all going to get up one by one and have our own little moments, like, they could do that. They're the jurors. It's like, that's what they want to do. Let them do that.
True.
That'd be so fun.
Honestly. Jury, I don't know. At least, well, I was going to say at least Jeff is thinking about fire making, but then we found out what he's thinking about fire making, and never mind. I don't want to know. Christine, were you the one who told us, what did he say again?
So yeah, someone on Twitter posted it. I have not like listened to Jeff's words, but apparently he's probably, because like leading up to this finale, like after like Keturah's confessional aired about like Vital Four fire making, Jeff apparently was like, on his podcast was like, we will address this after the season. And so everyone's like, oh, is there tea? Like, is he upset about it? No, he's just upset because it goes too fast now and he wants to go on for longer. And so now they're just gonna like not let them practice with the actual materials.
God. Yeah. And it's like, I don't understand him. He was even like, the vamping was so half-hearted in this one. He's like, usually people try to build up magnesium before. It's like, you are running out of things to talk about with this damn fire making.
Once again, the contestants could unionize and at the beginning of the game and be like, guys, if we all agree right now to respect the results of a vote that happens at Final Four, like, what are they going to do? Like, okay, it's like, honestly, if we all decided to vote and then Keturah quit based on who we voted for who, it's like, what? So what?
Honestly, would love that.
That'd be wild. I would love to see it. I mean, I would, in reality, hate to see how that person got edited on the show, but what an experiment.
I mean, yeah, it's like, how do we guarantee that that makes air and that it's like, like, how do we brute force Survivor back into being what it's supposed to be? I don't know.
If only.
Maybe one day we'll be back But for now, we're making do.
And just like to have an additional part of the worst segment of the entire season every year, which is the fire making segment, be now they're going to be gathering twigs and leaves. It's like the idle hunts are already bad, but now it's like we're literally watching people like scavenge for a coconut husk. Like, what? Nobody coming into the show for this. No, nobody would, because it's such a infinitesimally small part of every season.
It's ridiculous. And it's also ridiculous, these like these final day advantage thingies. Don't care. Don't need to see people running around counting
the
things.
New beach.
Yeah, I know Owen tweeted something like, guys, it like really affects. It's like, but it's at the end, it's just like not.
But
fun
bad
to watch.
TV.
Yeah, it's like I'm sure it was big out there.
Yeah. Like the five like, people who are there are not the millions of viewers who have to watch it.
Yeah. It's like describing a dream to people. It's like it's never going to be as interesting as as it is to you.
Yeah. And I'm also like, in general, when it comes to moving the island or giving them more food or any argument, like it's more interesting when people can think and make interesting decisions rather than when they are run down by an arbitrary island switch.
Yeah. I silly. Do we have anything else we want to talk about in this? Do we want to do like a, as always, we have not put in our due diligence to figure out if people listen to our EDGIC segments. Do we want to do like a rundown of like how EDGIC went for all of us this year?
Embarrassingly. I mean, obviously I've just to speak through my memory of my own thoughts, but I mean, if people care, they can go back and listen, I guess. But I think I was on board with Kelly for most of it. Then when she went home, I was very on board with Dee for a little. Then I got convinced for like 5 to 6 days that Emily was going to win the season of Survivor. And then obviously once Emily goes home, which I had already gotten back on the Dee side before that happened. But regardless, then after that, obviously it's been Dee the whole time.
I think I was Dee most of the season. I never got on the Kelly train. Ooh. Oh, man, sorry, I'm built different.
I'm not stupid.
I'm not stupid. But I feel like I caught on to Dee early on and then famously swayed the same time Sam swayed. So I like to chalk that up to peer pressure.
No. Oh, one of your other peers was not pressuring you not to do that. So.
Yeah. I chalked it up to the direct comparison between it was at the sanctuary where good things happen. They got letters from home. Emily has like a full-blown segment confessional about like her husband. She's like, we're moving in together, I might get married or whatever. And now obviously in my mind I'm like, that's change, that's bad, that's like her journey, like whatever. But and then the next thing that happens is like Dee has like a 6-second moment where she's like, my family, like I'm doing this for them, and like she doesn't talk about it at all. And I was like, oh, like I guess doesn't care. But they just talk about these families so much over the course of the season that it doesn't need to be all at one time. Sorry.
Yeah. I often look at the season through a mix of EDGIC and what I call confirmation bias. So whether that be my winner pick or just one of my faves early, I am in 41 maybe saying like, no, you guys don't understand, there was this one confessional that negates all of Deshaun's negative content. You don't understand. I was also on board for Kelly for quite some time, and then just before she went out, jumped out where yeah, we were in the same boat there. I had a very similar journey to Sam, where I was also convinced on Emily for about 5 days in the middle of my 80% D. I think I had about like a 20% Drew for a couple weeks there, but yeah.
That's a surprise to me. Now I remember we did flip off of Kelly like in the weeks before, because she started having weirdness in her edit.
Yeah. Things were getting weird. I just remember when I like really was sold on Dee was the like when she won immunity. I feel like that to me was like, that's a winner moment, is we built up the big toe, and then it actually like came back into the edit, and it also contributed to like her big like emotional moment of talking about the American dream. Like that to me was like, okay, like that is like winner content. I feel like there's a time when I was convinced of Keturah because the Bruce of it all, which is so ridiculous. Who else was I looking at this whole season? Kelly.
You were on Kelly for a little.
Yeah. Oh, like 100%. She was also my preseason winner pick, which is where the confirmation bias comes from. and honestly, I mean, listen, like I read like when was it Dalton Ross who was talking to them to the jury? But anyway, there was that like where they were like, they were talking to the then only jury members, like pre-finale of like, who on the jury played the best game? And everyone said Kelly. And then the same question was like asked of the people still in the game. And they also said Kelly. So it's like, she would have won. So we were onto something.
Bruce said himself.
Yes, Bruce said himself, which is iconic as fuck. Bruce, like, I know maybe people are saying he might have biases, but he's a fun TV character.
Yeah. As a TV character.
He's a diva. Yeah.
Loved Bruce as a TV character. You are so on. We were so robbed of getting to watch Bruce actually on Tika. Like, what a tribe that would have been.
I mean, it's like funny that Carolyn and him were apparently the closest, like really close, because then it's like, I don't think that would have lasted.
They were fighting. They were just also close.
Carolyn, yeah. Jam Jam, and Bruce, and Carson as the Reba 4 of 44 would be very fun. I just really appreciated that like this season had very identifiable themes and like like a story, like just like a story and repeated I don't want to say themes again, but just like they talked about, what'd you say,
were like motifs and
they talked about separation of game and emotion, and they talked about like holding information, like important pieces of information, like that they talked about that so often, and it became this thing, and they like interplayed with each other about the emotion, making you give away information and when the right time is to keep it back and when you have to keep those things separate, and playing like with them together, and like it all coalesced in the final tribal council, like about like Dee's ability to keep the two separate, to the point where like I was starting to have doubts, because I got in my head, I was like, oh my god, well maybe she kept them two separate and that like the jurors won't like that. Like it was beautifully done. Yeah, and I feel I'm sure lots of seasons have things like that, but it was very overt this season, which I really liked.
And I feel like, to me, I like the Emily of it all. Like, people were looking for like a dragon this year, and it's like Emily was not a dragon. She was like this, literally like a foil, like a classical like storytelling foil to Dee, and like that even came to fruition, like you said, that final tribal when Emily was the one like questioning Dee about like what's like how did you play with your head versus your heart, and Dee had that really amazing answer of like I played with both at the same time, like those two are connected for me, which felt like the perfect like end cap to that like through line that had been there the whole season. Just like really amazing stuff from the editors. I think they should be very proud of the storytelling they did there. Don't need any more flash forwards, I'm cool on that, but the storytelling I live.
Plus they loved Emily clearly, and just like to have her be the one like cutting down Austin, and like I feel like that really would help like sell Dee as a winner for anybody who's like whatever, like I don't know, but Emily being there to argue for on behalf of Dee against Austin was awesome. I love that.
Yeah, it's fierce
as the like main character best girl kind of business of the season.
Yes. Emily is best girl. I agree. Yeah, that's, I feel like that's kind of, for whatever reason, that's Survivor's way of like hiding the winners. Like they prop up another character who will then either be like the jewel in their crown, whatever you want to call that, or in Emily's case, they will be like their main advocate at Final Tribal. It's like maybe it's a bit of a pattern, but it's like I don't know, it still is really well executed here, and I liked it.
This season didn't have a dragon because she won.
Period.
The D-Ragon.
And no one else could be edited in that way.
No one else was breathing fire. She was the Charizard. She wasn't the dragon.
Charizard era. So true.
So any concluding thoughts? 45?
Good season.
I'm gonna start selling shirts that say Julie deserve more confessionals.
And I will buy one.
That's my main takeaway. People really clearly respected her and found her threatening.
And she would have won.
They said it on the show, like they were all saying it, but it's like, show. Make her a main character for like an episode. She slayed. And I love moms. And okay, I guess the only other thing we haven't really touched on is Jake breaking the challenge.
Funny. Oh yeah, that Jeff was funny.
I like when Jeff gets really upset.
He tried to play it off like he wasn't upset.
He's like, actually, that shows that Jake like really was pushing himself. It's like, you were just pissed that happened. You were like so annoyed with him, but you decided in your brain that actually it was like what Survivor's all about.
Yeah.
Scally, any concluding thoughts on 45?
Again, another thing I guess that the after show could have been used for is I am very curious how the game does play out if D does go out at Final Five and Julie stays. Mm. I think that's a really interesting thought experiment in terms of like, is she the de facto target at four that people are trying to take out? If she does make it to the end versus doesn't make it to the end, how does that play out? Overall loved season 45, very excited for season 46, which just like looking at the season 45 cast versus the 46 cast, like I have very different vibes from them. So I am very curious to see how that plays out with 90 minute episodes once again.
Well, like as it's the theorem of the new era casting. This is the silly one. This is supposed to be the silly one. Ooh. So we'll see.
They seem silly.
Yeah. I'm excited too. The logo could do without it. It's not very
good. I like the nighttime. I don't need the lizards.
Yeah, it's like the geckos don't really do much. I like you said, nighttime. Like that's a new sort of visual. It's nighttime. But I don't like that we're going to like someone with a torch. That's like the new thing now. It's like having a person with a torch in every logo. Yeah. I miss when it was like there was one big or sort of like visual. I miss the octopus, the 43 octopus. That was a slay.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you know, it is what it is. Thank you all so much for listening. This was a really amazing, I would say, season of our little pod. Had some really iconic guests, I must say. Hopefully more of that.
Scally included.
Yes.
1,000%. Yes, but we for the since you're on the finale, you rank above all of the 42 cast in our brains, obviously.
Oh, thankfully.
This was just an amazing season for us. I feel like I feel like we've gotten a lot more listeners. We have our Patreon now, which is so cool. I'm just really proud, and I hope Sam and Christine, you guys are proud too of the work we've all done. This has been such a fun season.
Yeah, we've got a lot more listeners and like 700 more followers who do not listen to us.
People who exist. Record my apology video.
What was that for?
Forgetting the 3,000 followers.
Oh yeah. That's true. It's either that or you have to watch all the Saw movies. That is, I think, what we just decided.
I will accept that.
Yeah.
Patreon idea.
I mean,
see, these are the things you might get on a Patreon episode.
Sam was asking in his Instagram for a director to follow the work of, and I did say Jigsaw. So that it could be happening. And thank you so much, Scally, for joining us for this and for always being such a great person to have on and just a great friend to have. Have you been on every season of BJ Pod?
I am famously bad at keeping track of timelines.
We need to have like a I don't know, some sort of list.
Five timers club.
Yeah, we need to, because I would love to honor the people who have been there with us from the beginning. But regardless, this was a fun one. I hope everyone had a fun season with us. And I guess it's time to plug.
I'm seeing mm-hmm. Scally episodes for Winners at War 42, 43, and now 45, plus ATLA and Legend of Korra coverage, and Big Brother 22 All-Stars Week 1.
Ooh.
Oh my god.
What a resume.
Yes. a regular. Well, Scally, do you want to tell the good people where they can find you on the internet? Ooh.
Well, people can find anything I'm doing on Twitter at Brian_Scally. Also streaming on Twitch at twitch.tv/bscally. Myself and Matt Ligori are talking about the Challenge 39 currently. New to the season, we moved onto our own podcast feed at the Free Agents Podcast. So definitely check that out. And anything else I'm doing will be on Twitter.
Are you guys free agents? Because you're like, we're finally free from the umbrella of Don McCollin, or what inspired the name?
Yeah, well, so there is a there's a season of the Challenge named Free Agents, and so the SEO not great, but in terms of we were really under the under a timeline to pick a name, and yes, the moving away from the umbrella of the Dom and Colin podcast, who so graciously and like amazingly hosted us for a number of years, but still we're out on our own free agents now, and it's been super fun. Been overwhelmed by the response, so very thankful for everyone that jumped over to the new feed with us.
Hell yeah. Sam, what about you?
At Sam Stanish, I'm doing TikToks at Moon Selector. Follow our Patreon. We will be dropping the first half of our new era contestant rankings. We're gonna get controversial. We're gonna get scintillating. Honestly, contestants, stay away or like be cool. leave us a review. And subscribe, honestly. $1 gets you into the Discord, $5 gets you 2 bonus episodes a month.
Hell yeah. Christine, what about you?
Follow me on Twitter at TheXteenFiles and on Instagram TheXteenFiles. You can read my writing on Inside Survivor. I will be writing the last roundup with Gia Worthy of the season, but we'll be back next season. And yeah. Check out, this last time I'll plug it because I've been plugging a lot, but check out the Sappho Project website, my fiance's opera project. So it's sapphoproject.com. Very cool music. I built the website. So yeah, check it out.
In the season of queer women, support queer women who do opera and make websites for the opera.
Exactly.
Opera Gia, opera fiance, website making fiance.
Yes. My hands look like this, so hers can look like this. They look the same, because I assume it's the same amount of handwork for both occupations. Follow me at ReinDirex on Twitter. Follow all of our cool stuff that we've done over the years. Shadow Play Gays, me and Christine talk about gay anime. Listen to Sam and I's, and sometimes Brian Scally's Avatar The Last Airbender, Legend of Korra stuff. Listen to Stan Uatu. Listen to Stanima with all of us as well, and keep your ears open for potentially another entry into that fun little series. Who knows?
We don't really have any. Yeah, we don't have like off-season content planned other than the Patreon stuff. For a long time, we were doing like Avatar: Legend of Korra in these off seasons, and now it's kind of like.
I know. I feel like the holiday is like really fucking with me. It's like I'm not in the. Maybe we'll do something. We should do something really short. Like, we'll figure something out.
Yeah, it's time. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. But
or we won't. Then,
or we won't. And fuck y'all. But hey, regardless, you're getting the bonus episodes anyway if you get on the Patreon. But we won't make you. We will still do something else. We'll figure it out. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening. Thank you again, Scally, so much for joining us. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.